الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم 17 مدني pearls of making dua supplication of Amir Ahlus Sunnah O Lord of Mustafa whoever reads or listens to the 25 page booklet 17 Madni Pearls of Making Dua fulfill their virtuous and permissible desires, accept their du'as and forgive them without accountability. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Whoever recites 100 salats upon me on Friday, he will come forth on the day of judgment with such light that if it was to be distributed amongst the entirety of creation, it would suffice for all. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The importance of dua. Dear Islamic brothers, Making dua is a great honor, and the Quran and Hadith encourages to do so in multiple instances. One such instance can be found in the following Hadith. Should I not inform you of that which gives you salvation from your enemy and expands your sustenance? Make dua in your days and nights, for dua is the weapon of a believer. Dua averts calamity. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, calamity descends and is encountered by dua. Then they continue to fight one another until the day of judgment. The significance of dua in worship. Sayyiduna Abu Darghifari radiyallahu anhu once said, The significance of dua in worship is like the significance of salt in food. Three benefits of dua. The final Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, revealed a Muslim who makes dua which does not contain mention of sin or severing of ties will certainly be granted one out of three things by Allah Almighty. The outcome of his dua quickly becomes apparent in his life. Allah Almighty distances a calamity from him, or goodness is gathered for him in the hereafter. Another narration mentions, in the hereafter, when seeing the reward for their du'as which were not accepted in the world, a person will yearn, If only none of my du'as were accepted in the world. Dear Islamic brothers, as you can see, du'a is never wasted. If its outcome does not appear in this world, the reward for it will definitely be granted in the hereafter. Therefore, it is not appropriate to show laziness in carrying out this act of worship. Five Madani Pearls. Number one. The first virtue of performing dua is the fact this is to act upon the command of Allah Almighty, as He has ordered us to make dua to Him, just as it is mentioned in the Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Supplicate to me, I will accept it. Number two, making dua is sunnah because our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would frequently do so. By extension, through making dua, we gain the honor of following the sunnah. Number three, in the same fashion, making dua is to obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as he would exhort his followers to engage in it. Number four, those who make dua are included amongst the ranks of the worshippers. Because dua is not only a form of worship, but the essence of worship itself. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, "Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah." Dua is the essence of worship. Number 5. By making dua, the seeker either has his sins forgiven, has his worldly issues resolved, or has the dua become a treasure for him in the hereafter. What sin have I committed? Dear Islamic brothers, as you can see, by making dua, one obeys Allah Almighty and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, acts upon the sunnah, earns the reward associated with this action, and gains countless other benefits in this life as well as the hereafter. Some people hasten in wanting their dua accepted, mu'adhallah. They may be heard saying, "I have been making dua for so long. I have even had pious people make dua for me. There's not a single shaykh I haven't been to. I even recite a lot of invocations. I've been to the shrines of saints. But Allah Almighty still doesn't fulfill my supplication." Some even dare to say, "What sin have I committed which has resulted in this punishment? Is missing salah not a sin?" If people who say such things are asked if they offer salah, they will perhaps reply in the negative. Their words of complaint, "What sin have I committed which has resulted in this punishment," are being expressed openly despite committing the major sin of missing salah. However, their attention does not turn towards this. In other words, it seems as though missing salah is not a sin at all to them, mu'adhallah. If only such people would take a small look at themselves, they would find non-Islamic haircuts, non-Islamic attire, and their faces kept in a similar fashion to fire worshippers who oppose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The beautiful sunnah of having a beard is completely absent from their faces. Their practices and customs are similar to those conducted by the enemies of Islam, to the extent that they do not offer salah at all. Missing salah is a major sin. Shaving the beard is haram. These people also lie, backbite, tell tales, break promises, think bad of others, look at haram, disobey their parents, swear or speak immorally, watch films and dramas, listen to music and commit other sins all day. However, they do not notice this at all. Despite indulging in all these transgressions, Satan makes them negligent, and they instead complain by saying, "What sin have I committed which has resulted in this punishment?" The friend we do not listen to. Contemplate over this. Let us say you have a close friend who asks you to do something many times, but you never go about doing it once. Then a time comes when you need his help with something. It is obvious you will think, "I haven't once done anything that he asked of me, so why would he do anything that I ask of him?" Even if you pluck up the courage to ask him and he doesn't respond to you, you will not be justified in complaining because you also did not help him in the first place. Now, reflect with a level head. Think of everything Allah Almighty has told us and ordered us to do. How many of these commands do we act upon? After analyzing this, we find that we are entirely negligent in acting upon his commands. Hopefully, this has clearly conveyed the principle in discussion to the reader or listener. We do not act on a single command issued to us by Allah Almighty. Yet, we complain when he does not cause our dua to manifest. If you continuously ignore what your best friend says, he may eventually bring your friendship to an end. But look how merciful Allah Almighty is towards his servants. They disobey him thousands of times, but he still does not exclude them from the list of his servants. He continues to shower his grace and mercy upon them. What will happen to us if Allah Almighty withholds his favors as a form of punishment? We cannot even take a single step without his mercy. If he were to take away the great bounty of air for just a few moments, which we are receiving for free, countless lifeless bodies would pile up in an instant. One reason the acceptance of dua is delayed. Dear Islamic brothers, sometimes delay in the fulfillment of a dua occurs due to reasons which are beyond our comprehension. In this regard, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, when a beloved of Allah makes dua, Allah says to Jibreel, wait, do not give it yet, so he may ask again, as I like his voice. When a disbeliever or a transgressor makes dua, Allah says, O Jibreel, hasten to his work without delay, so that he does not ask again, because I do not like his voice. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. A story. Sayyiduna Yahya bin Sa'id bin Qattan radiyallahu anhu beheld Allah Almighty in a dream and asked, O Allah, I make many du'as and you do not accept them. O Yahya, Allah Almighty replied, I like your voice, which is why I delay in fulfilling them. Dear Islamic brothers, the hadith and the account we have just listened to both clarify that Allah Almighty likes the beseeching of his pious people, which is one of the reasons for the delay in the fulfillment of their supplications. We cannot comprehend this divine wisdom. In summary, we must not hasten or rush. Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan rahmatullahi alayh writes the following on page 33 of Ahsan al-Wi'a whilst mentioning the manners of making dua. The dua of those who rush is not accepted. Do not hasten or rush to have your dua accepted. A blessed hadith explains how there are three types of people whose dua is not accepted by Allah Almighty. Number one, those who make dua for a sin. Number two, those who make dua to break ties with relatives. Number three, those who rush for it to be accepted immediately and say, my dua has not been accepted yet. This hadith makes it clear that one should not make dua for unlawful things, because such a dua will not be accepted. Similarly, a dua that involves the violation of the rights of a relative should not be made. One should also not rush or be impatient, or once again, their dua will not bear fruit. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh has written a commentary to Ahsan al-Wi'a li Adab al-Du'a, entitled Zail al-Mudda'a li Ahsan al-Wi'a. In this commentary, he conveys the following words of advice in his unique scholarly style and addresses those who become impatient regarding their dua being accepted, visiting those who hold worldly authority again and again. Yet people pursue and wait for worldly figures of authority, sometimes for years even, as they hope to use them for their own need. They spend days and nights becoming disheveled at their doorstep. These worldly figures do not even look at them or answer them. Instead, they dispute whilst displaying the smallness of their hearts and vastness of their arrogance. People then must bear the weight of their pointless endeavours, eat into their own finances and ask from their household, even though years pass in this fashion, remaining hopeful of having a worldly person help them. It seems as though they are still on day one of progress. No matter what, they do not give up their hopes, nor do they stop pursuing them. But who then comes to the door of Allah Almighty in the first place? Even if they do come, they bring their reluctance and impatience with them, hoping for everything they want to happen immediately. If only a week of their lives passes in some difficulty, they begin to complain as such, "I recited this, but nothing happened." Such naive people close the door of acceptance themselves. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, "Yustajabu li ahadikum ma lam ya'jal yaqulu da'awtu falam yustajab li." Translation: your prayers are answered as long as you do not hurry. Do not say, "I made dua, yet it was not accepted." Some even dare to doubt in the effects of dua and invocations. In fact, they lose trust in the promise Allah Almighty has made regarding His blessings. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ الْكَرِيمِ الْجَوَّادِ. They should be told, "O shameful and immodest people, reflect and look at yourselves. If your friend asks you 1,000 times to do something for him, but you do not, you will surely hesitate to ask him to do something for you. I did not listen to him." You will say to yourself, "How can I ask him to do anything?" If you still dare to ask him and he does not listen, you have no grounds to complain. You will say to yourself, "Well, I also did not do what he asked, so fair enough." Now consider this. How many of the commandments of Allah Almighty do you obey? How shameful is it for you to disobey him and then accept him to provide what you ask? O unwise person, just consider your being from head to toe. There are millions of bounties in every pore of your body. When you sleep, his innocent servants, i.e. angels, protect you. Despite committing sins, you are blessed with well-being and good health from head to toe, protection from calamities, the ability to digest food easily, discharging bodily filth without difficulty, circulation of blood in your body, functionally sound organs and eyesight. Countless bounties descend upon you continuously without you having to ask or pray for them. How can you then dare to complain if some of your wishes are not fulfilled? What do you know of what is beneficial for you? Perhaps your dua, which was not apparently accepted, has warded off a major impending calamity. What do you know of the reward in store for you due to your dua? The promise of Allah Almighty is true. Dua is accepted in 3 ways, of which each is higher than the last. If you lose faith, you have been doomed, and Satan has made you like himself. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. We seek Allah's protection. He is pure and magnificent. O wretched soil, O impure water, look at your mouth and then look at the great privilege you have been granted. Allah Almighty has permitted you to be present in His court. Mention His glorious name and beg from Him. May millions of desires be sacrificed on this enormous grace. O impatient, learn how to beseech Him. Cling to His glorious court. Remain attached to it and keep supplicating in hope of being blessed. Engross yourself in the enthusiasm of begging and asking Him so much that you forget your desires and wishes. Have firm belief that you will not be returned from His generous court empty-handed. Because من دق باب الكريم إن فتح. When anyone knocked at the door of the Most Benevolent, it was opened for him. وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ. An ability is granted by Allah. Delay in the acceptance of dua is a blessing. Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, O friends, your Creator says, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman, I answer the supplication of the supplicating one when he calls upon me. فَلَا نِعْمَ الْمُجِيبُونَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman, so what an excellent answerer of supplication we are. أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Translation from Kanzul Iman, supplicate to me, I will accept it. Firmly believe that Allah will not return you empty-handed from His court, and He will fulfill His promise. He says to His beloved Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wa ammas sa'ila fala tanhar. Translation from Kanzul Iman, and do not scold a beggar. How would he then distant you from his blessings? In fact, he looks upon you with favor, which is why he delays in fulfilling your supplications. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Relief from sciatica pain. Dear Islamic brothers, alhamdulillah, there are a number of instances of dua being answered by virtue of traveling with the Madani Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami in the company of the prophetic devotees. Here is an account of an Islamic brother in this regard. Our Madani Qafila went to the city of Tatta. One of the participants had severe sciatica pain. He used to writhe in pain like a fish out of water. One night, he could not sleep at all due to severe pain. On the last day, the leader of the Madani Qafila said, let us all pray for him together. So we began to pray. The Islamic brother said that he felt a reduction in pain even during the dua. And alhamdulillah, the sciatica pain completely vanished after a short while. Many years have now passed since this, and he has not felt the same pain again ever since he was relieved of it during the Madani Qafila. Alhamdulillah, at present, he is designated supervisor of Madani Qafilas in his area. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, an Islamic brother was relieved from the severe illness of sciatica by the blessing of Madani Qafila. Sciatica is an illness that causes extreme pain, extending from the hip joint down to the ankle, sometimes lasting for years. 17 Madani Pearls of Making Dua.
Almost all of the following Madani pearls have been taken from Ahsan al-Wiya li al-Adab al-Dua ma'a Shari Zayl al-Mudda'a li Ahsan al-Wiya, published by Maktabatul Madina. Number one, do not go beyond limits in dua. For example, asking for the same status as that of the noble prophets alayhimus salam, or to ascend the skies. It is also forbidden to ask for every goodness and excellence of both worlds, because this also entails the ranks of the prophets alayhimus salam, which cannot be attained. Number two, do not ask for something impossible or near impossible. For instance, making dua to remain healthy forever or protected from every trouble for one's entire life. Similarly, a tall person should not make dua to become shorter, nor should a person with small eyes ask for larger ones, as the pen has already written regarding this. Number three, one should not make dua for something sinful, as this itself is a sin. For example, making dua to attain others' wealth. Number four, one should not make dua for the breaking of ties amongst relatives. Do not pray for disagreements between so and so relatives. Number five, do not ask Allah for that which is inferior, simply because He is generous. One should keep their full attention towards Allah Almighty and only ask Him for everything. Number six, one should not make dua for his death due to sadness and calamities. It is impermissible to make dua for death to rid oneself of worldly troubles. However, it is permissible to make such dua if one suspects he will suffer loss or harm in his religious matters. Number seven, without a reason validated by Sharia, one cannot ask for the death or ruin of anyone. Number eight, it is not permissible to make dua for a certain Muslim to become a disbeliever. According to some scholars, making such dua itself is an act of disbelief. In detail, if a person made dua for a Muslim to become a disbeliever whilst considering disbelief good and Islam bad, this is an act of disbelief. Otherwise, it is a grave sin, because desiring bad for a Muslim is haram. Asking for the loss of someone's faith is worse than all evil attributes. Number nine, do not curse a Muslim nor refer to him as cursed or rejected. If someone dies and one is unsure if he died as a Muslim or disbeliever, one must still not curse him. Number 10. Do not make dua against a Muslim by saying, "May the wrath of Allah be upon you, may you enter hell," or similar wordings, as this has been prohibited in hadith. Number 11. Making dua for the forgiveness of a non-Muslim who has died is haram and an act of disbelief. Number 12. It is not permissible to ask Allah Almighty to forgive every sin of every Muslim, as this conflicts with various hadith which describe how certain Muslims will enter hellfire. However, it is permissible to ask for all the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam to be forgiven, or for all Muslims to be forgiven. Number 13. One should not make dua against himself, friends, family, wealth, or children. It may be a moment in which dua is accepted, and he will feel great regret if the dua manifests. Number 14. One should not ask for that which he already has. For example, a male should not say, "Oh Allah, make me a male," as this would be considered mockery. It is permissible to make dua for something which leads to various positives, such as the completion of something ordered by Sharia, displaying humility, expressing servitude, asking for that which inculcates love of Allah Almighty and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or that which inspires inclination to Islam or Muslims. Number 15. Avoid narrow-mindedness whilst making dua. For example, do not say, "O Allah Almighty, have mercy only on me," or "O Allah Almighty, only have mercy on me and so friend of mine." It is better to include the entire ummah in your dua. One benefit of this is that even if the seeker is not rightful of a certain thing he is asking for, he will attain it by virtue of the pious Muslims he mentions in his dua. Number 16. The proof of Islam. Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi explains, one should make dua with firm belief and full certitude of its acceptance. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. 15 Quranic du'as. Number 1. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanah. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O our Lord, give us good in the world and also good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of hell. Number 2. Rabbana la tu'akhizna in nasina aw akhtana. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O our Lord, do not seize us if we forget or have made a mistake. Number 3. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O our Lord, and do not place a heavy burden upon us as you have placed for those before us. Number 4. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O our Lord, do not cause our hearts to deviate after you have guided us, and bestow mercy upon us from yourself. Indeed, you are the greatest sustainer. Number 5. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا آمَنَّا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ظُنُوبَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O our Lord, we have accepted faith. We plead, so forgive our sins and save us from the punishment of hell. Number 6. رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O our Lord, forgive our sins and wipe away our evil deeds, and cause us to die with the righteous. Number 7. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O our Lord, do not include us with the unjust. Number 8. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O our Lord, pour upon us patience and cause us to die as Muslims. Number 9. رَبِّ اجْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O my Lord, make me the one who keeps Salah established, and also to some of my offspring. O our Lord, and answer my supplication. Number 10. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O our Lord, forgive me and my parents and all the Muslims on the day when accountability will take place. Number 11. رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O my Lord, forgive the believers and have mercy, and you are the best to bestow mercy. Number 12. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O our Lord, grant us coolness of our eyes from our wives and our children, and make us leaders of the pious. Number 13.
ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم.
Translation from Kanzul Iman. O our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who accepted faith before us, and place not any malice in our hearts towards the believers. O our Lords, only you are indeed most compassionate, most merciful. Number 14.
رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ.
Translation from Kanzul Iman. O my Lord, I seek your refuge from the evil suggestions of the devil. Number 15.
رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا.
Translation from Kanzul Iman. O my Lord, have mercy on them both, just as they brought me up in my childhood. Four excellences of Ayatul Kursi. Number 1. As mentioned in a hadith, amongst all the sacred verses of the glorious Quran, this verse is of distinguished excellence. Number 2. Sayyiduna Ubay bin Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, O Abu Mundhir, of all the verses of the Quran you have memorized, do you know which is the grandest? I replied, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam struck his blessed hand upon my chest and said, O Abu Mundhir, congratulations to you on your knowledge. Number 3. A narration found in Mustadrak describes how there is one verse in Surat Al-Baqarah which is the chief of all verses of the Quran. Satan flees from the home in which this verse is recited. The verse in mention here is Ayatul Kursi. Number 4. The fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu narrates, I heard the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saying from the pulpit, whoever recites Ayatul Kursi after every salah, there is nothing preventing him from entering paradise except death. And whosoever recites this before going to sleep at night, Allah Almighty will protect him, his home, and the neighboring homes. Five blessings of Ayatul Kursi. Dear Islamic brothers, the one who recites Ayatul Kursi after every salah will receive the blessings mentioned below. Number 1. He will enter paradise after death, inshallah. Number 2. He will remain secured from all the mischief of Satan and jinns, insha'Allah. Number 3. If he is destitute, then in a few days, his destitution and poverty will be distanced from him. Number 4. Whosoever recites Ayatul Kursi and the two subsequent verses up to Khalidun in the morning, in the evening, and when lying down on his bed, he will be protected from theft, drowning, and burning, insha'Allah. Number 5. If a tablet inscribed with Ayatul Kursi is hung in a high place in the house, then, insha'Allah, there will never be a shortage of food in that house. In fact, there will be more blessings and an increase in sustenance, and thieves will never be able to enter that home. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد. Most beloved dua. The final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, "The one for whom the door of dua is opened, the door of mercy is opened for him. The most beloved supplication from the supplications made to Allah Almighty is to seek well-being, i.e. afia. Dua is beneficial for those calamities that have descended and those that have not. So, O slaves of Allah, make dua necessary upon yourselves." Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.